just because you might say he's part of the problem doesn't mean the problem can't be fixed. But I think we are really, really good at finding, in Cleveland in general, I think we're really, really good at finding the guy to blame, and then that becomes the kind of panacea, the fix-all for everything.
We zero in on it.
Yeah, and I listen, that's what fans do. And in fairness, that is what media does as well.
And sometimes it's not even the guy. Sometimes it's part of the guy's job. Like, for instance, when we zeroed in on Stefanski's play calling, when it was arguably the best thing he was doing.
Yes.
But everyone's like, hey, he's got to give up the play calling. And we're like, dude, does he really? I think that's what he does well.
And so I think with this conversation, I don't think the Browns have done a good enough job in the last 4 years cleaning up their side of the street. And that includes even when they've let go of people that obviously needed to be let go of, i.e. Joe Woods, right? Like, was with, in terms of hiring Jim Schwartz, was that about the best guy? And again, we like Jim Schwartz. This, we can blame Jim Schwartz for how this has gone and give him his part of this blame. It doesn't mean I think the guy's a bum or an idiot.
Right.
But if you really want to catch Pittsburgh, if you really want to catch Kansas City, if you really, and catch is it's a moving goalpost, but if you really want to climb into and leap vault into in this conference consistently, this is how you do it. And making sure that we're all on the same page. Hey, Kevin is a good head coach because of X, Y, and Z, and Kevin needs help in X, Y, Z. And that's for everybody. That's Andrew Berry. That's Paul DePodesta. That's the Haslams themselves, or the owners don't usually hold themselves accountable.
Right, but again, as we said earlier, though, is it an unsolvable puzzle? Has he been tasked with something that it doesn't matter who he is, they weren't going to be able to have success? And we can point to the things that he should be able to control. We should point to the fact that he had way too many penalties. How many 12 men on the field can we possibly watch? Like, that's a coaching problem. There's no disputing that. There's no denying that. But you go down and you unravel some of the pieces to this, whether that's Deshaun, whether that's the offensive line, whether that is the defense. Just so many factors to this. And so I like the idea that we're putting something on Kevin, but I do want to know how much we need to put on Kevin.
I mean, I would put, he's a head coach and the offensive coordinator. So if we're going to give him the lion's share of the credit here, like, to me...
Well, that's a problem I have, is way too many people will go, ah, two-time coach of the year, he's a wizard, he does this, he does that. Means nothing to me.
Yeah, I agree. Means nothing to me. Like, in the NFL, you're as good as your last five games, and that's the way it should be. It's really hard to win in the NFL, and the margins are always changing, and the inefficiencies are always changing. So... it's not just good enough to be good 2 out of 4 years. You have to consistently be chasing that next win. And you said something there that I think is really important, because we asked at the start of the show, why are people giving Jim Schwartz a pass in all this? Because again, let's put it, if it's 5% blame, let's address that 5% blame.
Sure, yeah.
With Kevin, man, it feels like we're just overlooking the fact that there are 12 men on the field penalties happening when he's the play caller.
Which is not something we ever saw before, though, and that's the part that makes this so confusing.
Yeah, well, the offensive line. Like, I get that injuries are part of this. Guys, it's basic picking up blitzes. Like, these are we're talking about, and that's, to me, is where it's like, if it was more like high concept stuff.
Sure.
Or if I could just focus on what is your identity. That's great. When you just have to name something, okay, here's our identity, here's what we do well. Good. It's not where we are. We're in, like, basics haven't been cleaned up. And that's where all of a sudden I look at Kevin. Because that has nothing to do with Deshaun. That has nothing to do with the ego of the defense.
Yeah.
That has nothing to do with injuries. And it's all getting back to, like, why are the basics not getting done? And why does nobody seem that pissed off about it?
I can't answer why no one seems that mad about it. Because it is the type of thing that most fans would be really mad about. Let me ask you this, though. In the next couple games, for instance, I still think we have the coaching advantage. I'll still take Stefanski over Nick Sirianni. They have no idea what's happening there. He's in year four. He has no idea. Like, his quarterback and him have no idea if they even like each other. That was the big bombshell from The Athletic over the summer.
How's that different from here? I don't know if Kevin and Deshaun like each other either.
It's a fair response back, to be honest. It's a fair response back.
Also,
they've also went to a Super Bowl together, so it's like the type of thing you should like each other. They've had a massive amount of success together. They probably should like each other.
I mean, they have more playoff wins.
Stefanski and Watson are this arranged marriage thing that they, I mean, That's not something that they ever. You know, they don't have to be lockstep the same way.
I gotta say that bugs me. The every relationship with a quarterback and a head coach that's an offensive play caller is an arranged marriage. Even if you handpick them, it's an arranged marriage because it's not just as simple. Unless you're Andy Reid, very few situations are as simple as that's my guy. That's the only guy that I'll do. Like Reid's got that. Peyton in Denver inexplicably has that now. And like,
yeah, but he was really forced into this one.
Man, I think that's giving Kevin an out. I don't know. And again, I'm not saying that you're wrong. I'm just saying we're all making assumptions.
Well, hold on now. I just want to play with it for a second. I do remember the report that Jason had when the pitch was announced. Stefanski was in that hotel room trying to dial it up and trying to make sure that Watson knew what he could do with him. So maybe he needs to be more culpable than maybe I'm letting on here.
Well, okay. And then so here's maybe. Oh, you might have unlocked something there. All right. Now I think we're cooking with gas.
Okay, let's do it.
At the end, Baker wasn't Stefanski's cup of tea.
Not at all. I think everyone can admit that.
Now,
one more
Deshaun,
time, sorry, that last part.
Now Deshaun is not his cup of tea. Who is his cup of tea? Because if all right, there's personality dynamics with Baker that I don't like, so I don't want him here. Okay, fair. That's your choice as a head coach to make and as the GM and as the organization. But then you go to the next guy, and now it's another thing of, because I guess what I'm seeing is when the Browns don't win, there's tons of excuses for Kevin. Well, Baker was hurt, and Baker was petulant.
Yeah, I've always kind of looked at him like Shanahan in many respects. I always think he's kind of like Shanahan Jr. Where
like Teflon?
No, not that way. More the idea that whether it's Jimmy G or whether it's Brock Purdy, he's going to, like, he does best when it's not the Lambo that goes 150 miles per hour. He does best with
with lesser talented quarterbacks.
Yeah, that's where he shines.
Yeah, but okay, but man, that
he can be the controlling guy that he wants to be, but he can also just tell him like a robot almost, like, this is what you need to do, and then they'll follow the orders. There's a reason why Kirk Cousins is so beloved with all the Sean McVays of the world and these really advanced play callers, because he's like a robot. He's a football robot. He tells him what to do. And then he goes and does it. And I think Stefanski, ideal world, I think he'd want somebody like that.
I think what's so wild about it is, in some ways, Kevin appears, because I think you're driving at something great here. In some ways, I think Kevin appears to be very hands-off when it comes to things like team leadership. When it comes to things like, that's your defense, I'll mind my side of the street here.
Yeah, agreed.
And yet, when it comes to the offense, he's arguably insanely controlling with play calling, with the ins and outs, and it has to be my system and things that I favor. And that, again, there's a rigidity there that I don't know. Like, say what you want about Shanahan. Yeah, you have to run his system. He does lean into the skid. Like, the Shanahan with Jimmy G and the Shanahan with Brock Purdy, there are derivations or their deviations between those two things, and what they would have run with Trey Lance, it looks different. Like, he is capable of adjusting. I'm sure that there's difference between Jacoby and Joe, but it seems like if you're comfortable under center, you're comfortable in the play action game under center specifically, and you like know the offense that he wants to run, then you're gonna have a chance. But so basically he's Kyle Shanahan without the wins.
I've always looked at him like dollar store Shanahan, if we're being honest. Like, he's not Shanahan. He like wants to be Shanahan. He's cosplays as Shanahan often. If he could dress up as Shanahan for Halloween, that's who he would go as.
Who's dressing up for Halloween as Kyle Shanahan?
I like the cosplaying better, but then I took it to the Halloween. Oh, you're kidding me? All sorts of kids in San Francisco dress up as Kyle Shanahan.
Is it like with nurses? Very seductive? Is it seductive Kyle Shanahan?
Yeah, you think it's seductive. I don't think it's seductive.
It's like a V-neck sweater, and you get to see a little bit of that chest hair like you do with me on TikTok.
That's too much chest hair.
For you.
Too much threatening of corgis on TikTok as well.
That was one time. I threatened a single corgi.
Too many times.
A single corgi who was asking for it.
One time is too many times.
216-474-0092. I think this is where we are going to go with this, which is, you know, is it time for Stefanski to consider giving up play calling to Ken Dorsey? Because there is a catch-22 at play here, but I want to get to KC in Cleveland. What's up, buddy?
Hey, yo. So, just wanted to make a couple comments, man. You guys went through a lot since I called, but I know we could point the finger at everybody, to be honest, man. There's a lot of people, not everybody, but I'm going to point the finger at Jimmy, man, because like I was telling your screener, bro, this is a business, you know, and when you're running a business, I don't know, a lot of people run businesses and they know you got to hire and fire people and you put people in your business and you make these decisions. And it just seemed like to me he'd been making a whole bunch of bad business decisions. And I don't like to talk about people like that. I know he's got a lot on his plate, but he's got a lot of other businesses, too, that have questionable practices. But my point is, had we probably done something like drafted Josh Allen, if you see how this guy's been playing this season, it's been lights out, we wouldn't even be having these conversations right now about who the quarterback is going to be. We would have been able to invest money in the other places. And it's just a snowball, right, after that. So I'm just interested in knowing what you guys think about that.
Casey, we appreciate you, buddy.
I want to make sure I have this right. We should have drafted Josh Allen. Is that the take?
I think that's the take.
Is that what we got here? Yeah. That's what we got out of this?
I do not remember that being the take in 2018. I remember it being Baker or Darnold and a smattering of Rosen. But I do not remember Josh Allen entering the fray for many a people.
Lot of Rosen involved there.
Rosen. I was kind of part of that.
I liked him too, though.
It was November. It was a lost season. I tried real hard.
The hot tub in the dorm room should have been the dead giveaway that maybe you needed to stay away.
I think that's what made him great.
I know. We all loved it.
You should have had a hot tub in Berea. Maybe he'd be king by now.
Remember
who knows?
When he was in Berea?
It was, I think, 3 weeks.
I met him in Berea because he came by and he had a very nice, you would have been very impressed with his beard.
Yeah?
Well-kept beard. He looked like he should have been on The Bachelor.
Probably where he belongs.
Yeah.
216-474-0092. Should Kevin Stefanski give up play calling to Ken Dorsey? We'll get to that catch 22 next on 92.3 The Fan. I know that right now this is not his offense, and he is having an abhorrent year as just a coach in general, offensive coordinator or otherwise. So that's column two. Then column C, because now I'm switching it
up. Getting a lot of columns.
Columns. Get them while you can.
It's like the Roman Colosseum.
I look Roman. Come on now. I olive up very easily. But then the column C is, I just don't know how I can tell anyone listening that they should go to Ken Dorsey, a guy who's been here 5 minutes and seems to be a big part of the problem.
You don't believe in Ken Dorsey. Shocker.
Yeah. And it's also like, so this isn't his offense. It's like some weird Frankenstein that's nobody's offense.
I don't know what offense this is. We decided earlier I thought it was the bad offense, yeah. Right? That's like the secret undercover name, bad offense.
But what was that?
Sounds like a cool band.
Oh, okay.
Band name, bad offense.
Well, yeah, I thought you said.
No.
I see it. No, I see it.
Yeah, a little bit.
I would say crap. It's like a punk band from the
70s. It's very aggressive.
Yeah, it's not even crap offense. It's just
come see crap.
Crap.
At the Agora.
Live at the Odeon this Saturday, it's crap with Hoobastank opening up for them.
It's always Hoobastank.
It's always Hoobastank.
The reasons.
The reason is you, all right? I actually don't know if the reason is Kevin or the reason is Ken. We're just going to play this out. No, I mean, I think that's my problem, is I don't know how in good conscience, if Kevin can maybe figure it out. But then again, and this is where I'm talking in circles, would it free Kevin up to maybe work on like the other coaching things to then give Ken Dorsey this?
And I know it stinks right now, but I thought we were all in agreement. Play calling is what Stefanski does best. The reason why he hasn't given it up to begin with now is I wholeheartedly believe that's what he thinks he does best. That is what he believes. When he lays his head down at night, that's what he believes he does best. That's why I bet he was shocked he won Coach of the Year last year. Because
what?
Because
I didn't even have a speech ready.
No, based off the idea that it was so much of the defense. He's like, wait, you guys are giving me so much applause for the defense being great. I do offense. I do offensive things. That's all I do. I don't do anything with the defense. You love this defense. I didn't do anything with it. So he's gonna free
himself
up. He's
putting a lot of thought into Kevin on this one, by the way.
He's gonna we do that around here. He's gonna free himself up to then what? Go tell Jim Schwartz how to do his job when he hasn't told Jim Schwartz how to do his job ever?
Well, no. I mean, isn't the point of there are certain archetypes as head coach? If you remove yourself as play caller, one, does it give somebody a fresh set of eyes who has called this kind of defense before or offense before? That's one part of this. And again, this is devil's advocate. I cannot tell you that I'm that invested in this, even if I'm asking, is Kevin part of the solution or part of the problem? And the other thing is, the CEO oversees everything. He's in every meeting, right? He's making sure of like, hey, Jim, this is your side of the ball. How about them missed tackles, right? You still have a hand in the offense, but maybe something like leadership or honestly, just in-game decisions.
Because listen, it's something I thought he would never do. I thought he'd never give the play calling because he's so convinced that he loves it. After this Deshaun Watson, I can't bench him scenario that's kind of played out, I wonder if it's the only move he's got.
I think if you're not going to bench Deshaun, I think the only next card to play, and I think this is where Kevin is a lot more shrewd. We paint this guy like he's like Mayberry. He's like this nice guy from Philly who's just, he's just dreamy as hell, and he gets us. He's just a nice guy.
Why are the Philly streets so nice in our equations? These nice streets of Philly. No one's ever talked that way about Philly.
Because Kevin didn't grow up on the streets of Philly. I'm going to assume that Kevin grew up in a suburb of Philadelphia, so he understands the attitude of Philadelphia, but he never got his ass kicked for going to Penn. I almost said Yale.
How dare you confuse an Ivy League?
I would never do that. As a member of Bowling Green State University, where there is ivy on the walls, I would never do that sort of thing. But no, I mean, so like, there is part of me that's like, all right, whether it's leadership or whether his in-game decisions, which, guys, that is what's leading to too many times where we have 12 men on the field. Like, that is the point of getting this up.
I agree with all that, but don't you also agree that if it goes to Dorsey, we're not going to get any better? It's been a bad offense, so maybe it can't get worse, but like, it's not going to get any better.
But how, okay, so what's interesting to me is, and this is another one of, I'm just thinking as you're kind of saying this, how can we just be so certain that anybody but Deshaun will run? I'm not saying you are, but anything's better than this with a quarterback, and we don't have that same thing with like play calling or offensive coordinating.
I mean, I'm just playing with the idea that I don't believe Ken Dorsey is a play caller.
Based off
his history. Well, I mean, we do know. It was more than seven games. The only time Buffalo did not have success in the Josh Allen era from an offensive standpoint was when Ken Dorsey was in charge.
And yesterday.
Yeah, they stunk. Sunday. That was bad offense.
It was 2 days ago.
That was really bad offense. But Joe Brady, he showed he could do it. All sorts of guys. Brian Daboll was awesome. The reason why I got to be a head coach is based off of that.
By the way, Joe Brady sucked in Carolina as the play caller. All of a sudden,
that's not helping the case.
Well, what do you mean?
If he sucked in Carolina, but then he went to Buffalo and all of a sudden he had everything figured out, like it's because it's easy.
Well, no.
But Josh Allen's supposed to be easy, and Joe and Ken Dorsey made it hard.
I walked into a room there because I also realized that means, well, one guy had Josh Allen and the other guy didn't. However, as I digress, but my point is, speaking of progression and linear things, just because somebody is bad at something in one circumstance or one setting doesn't mean they're unilaterally bad.
Right, but when you're bad given one of the top three quarterbacks in the game, I'm supposed to believe then you're good when given what is right now the 32nd best quarterback in the game?
By the way, I don't think they were bad with Buffalo. They just weren't as good as they were with in the year before. Because this is what, year three, so that means last year was year two of Daboll
in New York? Based off of Josh Allen's actual like individual success and then actual like postseason success.
But what about the year
before? The worst stretch they've ever been in was when Ken Dorsey was there.
Yeah, and
the AFC title game under Daboll. Year three when Josh Allen finished in the top three voting in MVP. I think he was second overall that year. Like that was all Daboll.
But wasn't last year Ken Dorsey's second year as play caller?
Right, right.
Okay, so...
And the year prior to that was the year that we watched Josh Allen have more turnovers than we've ever seen him have.
I believe they were still wildly successful and scored a bunch of points a game.
They didn't make it to the AFC title game. By what metric were they wildly successful?
They made the AFC title game...
One time. The entire time Josh Allen's been there.
So at what point do we talk about sample size here?
I think... What is that? How many games? All but what, six last year and then a whole season? Like we watched enough.
216-474-00. I'm in a weird place where I can't advocate for Ken Dorsey, but I understand the idea of giving up play calling if it means whether it's discipline, leadership, or I don't know, in-game decisions suddenly work themselves out.
And here's the part that I have to recognize. It might just infuse some sort of energy for a team that has kind of lost all sorts of energy attached to the offense. So maybe that's why you do it.
Let's go with Tony in Chagrin. What's up, buddy?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing very well. Hey, we got Tony. About 45 seconds. What you got for us?
Excellent. That's all I need. Okay, so
me
first
too.
I want to start off. And you know what? The season's over, okay? I'm done.
It's over. It's done with. My second point, if there's anybody here to blame for everything that's going on, I'm going to blame Andrew Berry. Rodney McLeod on your guys' show earlier last week said that this is a player-led team. So why aren't we bringing in players that are articulate with the way that they do things? They're mental errors, small things that you see in the film room that you should be studying, and I'm not seeing it translate onto the field. Every single game I watch, these are things that Stefanski can control, but to a certain extent. It's on the players at this point for me. You know, I think Stefanski's been a really good coach here for the last couple of years, and I'm going to ride with him. But for the guys that Andrew Berry's putting around him, it's not enough.
Tony, we appreciate you, buddy. That was darn near exactly 45 seconds. Tony was not lying to us. We appreciate you, bud. So I will say, if I'm opening up the can of worms on Kevin, you've got to open up the can of worms on Andrew. And I do wonder if sometimes we're talking a lot about athletic traits and we're not talking enough about football players. But that's probably a conversation for a different day. As we continue on, is taking play calling away? Or is Kevin giving up play calling to give to Ken Dorsey? Is that the right move? Jake Murren's going to help us out with bandwagons. This is either going to be great or something else. Next on 92.3 The Fan.